Welcome to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Sharon Eubank, and today we're joined by Sister Julie B. Beck, the General Relief Society President, who will be answering your questions about finding balance in our lives and prioritizing. Sister Beck, thank you for joining us today.
It's great to be back with you, Sharon.
You know, this is an interesting topic that has a lot of interest from the listeners about finding balance and how to prioritize things. Many, many people, all of us, wrestle with these kinds of things. There's an interesting first question that came in. Her name is Shantae.
Hi, I'm Shantae. Sister Beck, I'm wondering, how do you find balance in your life between your church calling and your other responsibilities?
Shantae, this is a very common question, as Sister Eubank mentioned, and good people are the ones who ask this kind of question. People who aren't worried about prioritizing just do what feels good in the moment and don't look to the future very much. It's the ones who are looking forward with great goals and purpose, who want to know how to balance their lives. When you're a covenant-keeping member of the church, you always have more to do than you can possibly do in the day. I would say, first of all, that the only way I am able to find the balance is through the atonement. It's the Savior Jesus Christ that, through His grace, makes all things possible. And I can do hard things because He makes them possible. And somehow the impossible gets accomplished because of the atonement operating in my life. It's not because of my personal effort or willpower. I desire and pray for it, but it's the atonement working in my life that makes it happen.
Thank you for that. You know, I heard Sister Susan Tanner say, she was talking about, we talk about balancing things, and that presupposes that you would do everything and just do it in a balanced way. But she says it's not really about balance, it's about focus. You can't do everything during the day, so you focus on the things that the Holy Ghost tells you are the most important things. And that seems to relate to what you're saying.
Yes, without the Holy Ghost, you can't prioritize at all. I've heard it likened to an airplane that banks to one side and then the other side, or goes up and down, but you stay aloft. So I've heard some people explain it that way, that you're not always on this straight, non-bumpy track. But with the atonement and the discernment of the Spirit, we are able to do what's important. You can focus on what's important. I like to send people to Preach My Gospel. On page 10 of Preach My Gospel, it talks about a successful missionary. The principles there apply to everybody. I can't think of a harder work than missionary work. And the dilemma in a missionary's life every day, where's my balance, and am I prioritizing properly? And we tell missionaries they have to study the scriptures, they need to be physically fit, they have to eat properly and keep their apartments clean, and not only that, they've got to find people to teach, they have to plan to teach those people, they have to work with the members. There are a million things, really, in a missionary's life, if they're living it properly, that have to be balanced. And how do they know they're doing a good job, ever? President Irene has talked about this quite a bit, that a missionary should never get to the end of their mission and wonder if they've done a good job. And I think a woman shouldn't get to the end of her life and wonder if she's done a good job. That evaluation happens almost hour by hour, day by day, where if we feel the Spirit working through us, if we're loving people appropriately, if we're obeying the commandments, then we'll know.
Talk about that a little bit more, because sometimes people feel like they can never be enough. One of the sisters who wrote into the website was asking, how do we learn to balance and prioritize our life, which is the topic of this? How can I feel like I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ when I often feel so guilty about what I'm not doing?
That's a big question. There are a lot of things left undone every day. There are a couple of principles that will help us here. First, I will tell a principle that Elder Christofferson has taught recently, where he said in General Conference that we should seek correction, and sometimes we will feel bad about our choices. A true disciple of Christ will seek correction from the Lord, and we will feel bad about some of our choices, and that will motivate us to make the changes that we need to and do the repenting. I appreciated that teaching from him because a lot of times the guilt has helped influence a change in my life that made it better. President Hinckley always said, do the best you can, but do the very best you can. Years ago, I went through a struggle with my health, and it wasn't a short struggle. It was a long struggle. During that time, I didn't feel like doing anything, not even the most important things, and I wondered, how am I going to have balance and work on getting well and take care of my family and church responsibilities? It was a wonderful revelatory time where the Lord gave me three categories that blessed my life. The three categories were the essential things, the necessary things, and the nice-to-do things. The essential things were the things that were going to bring eternal life to my family eventually, the things that we had to take care of or we had no hope of eternal life. That means we had to read scriptures, and I had to be in the scriptures in a way that I hadn't been in them before. I'd been a casual scripture reader. Mm. Now I made it a habit at that time. Prayer took on new meaning. Going to the temple took on new meaning for me. Serving was important. And when you don't feel well and you're bedridden, then you have to find simple ways to serve that are not elaborate or showy. Smiling, writing letters, calling people, forgiving. Those are the essential things in our lives. And it isn't a very long list. And most of the time, we get rushed and forget those. But if we take care of the essentials, the rest of our life tends to fall into place. Then we have this huge category of the necessary things because we're mortals and we have to maintain life. We have to eat, which means we have to work. People in our homes have to be taken care of. So you have laundry to do and cooking and cleaning, the driving to and from. There are necessary things to be self-reliant, to take care of yourself and other people, serving and preparing lessons and lots of necessary things. It's a long list, and we don't get to all of it with equal importance every day, but we can generally take care of those. Then we have this category of things that are nice to do. Those are hobbies and interests and diversions. They add variety to our lives, but they don't save us. They don't bring us exaltation. I could see as I evaluated that I had in some way focused too heavily on the nice-to-do things, and it was gobbling up huge chunks of my time to the neglect of the essential things and sometimes the necessary things. So I worked hard at that time on an alignment. As Sister Tanner said, it's focus, but it's really, I call focus an alignment. If we're aligned with the Lord and His purposes and His goals for us, a lot of things fall into place and the unnecessary things tend not to surface. And the nice to do fills in the cracks. It's the mortar that holds it all together. It makes things joyful and happy and more lighthearted. Sometimes people get so out of balance that they end up in a fourth category that is a dangerous category, which is escape. They disappear mentally, spiritually, sometimes physically into another world and other behaviors that will never save them. So the balancing in our lives and getting rid of the guilt is more of making sure we're aligned with the Lord. If we're aligned with what He wants us to do, we can feel good about things. And if we take care of the essentials and the necessaries, He gives us a lot of the nice, and life is happy.
I appreciate the comment that you just shared about your own personal struggle and how you found some prioritizing and balancing in that life. It has a lot to do with this comment we have from Carol Remington, who just said, I have a lot to handle just like a lot of people, and she wanted some advice on developing balance and prioritizing her life.
Hi, I'm from Cardston, Alberta. My name is Carol. And I'm a mom of eight, and my youngest has recently graduated, so I'm now left at home after years of prioritizing for my family. And so I've been surprised at this stage in my life that I still have so many demands in so many areas. We've got grandkids and children needing help. Both of our mothers are in the community with us, and one has Alzheimer's and one has Parkinson's. We're also feeling the effects of too little financial planning and are needing help in getting the amount of money that we need to retire, so we're trying to assess that. I'm trying to catch up on so many areas of my life as well. I'm trying to go to the temple weekly. I'm trying to fit in all those good things that are there. But my question is, how do you balance all of these good things that are part of this stage of my life?
Carol, that is a great comment. And it's the story of many Latter-day Saint women. One of the great myths I think we like to buy into is that at some point we will be able to catch up. That just never happens. If we're living the kind of life you describe, where you're investing in the things that are essential and important, in your family, in the temple, then you're never going to catch up. Your family is going to continue to multiply and grow, so there will be more people in your life forever. And you will want to spend time with each of them and make things happen for that family. Sometimes feeling good about yourself is the little things. I know for me recently, I looked at a bathroom closet that I'd been looking at. It was stuffed with things for the last 3 years, and it had been on my list for 3 years to clean out. And finally one day, with a couple of granddaughters, I said, let's clean out this closet, and you can have all the little perfume bottles, all the little lotion bottles, everything you want. They can go in your drawer. They were thrilled, and I had some help. I had a half an hour with those beautiful girls. They each went home with a box of fun things, and I had a job accomplished. And so it made us all feel good. You have to look for the opportunities to do things in tandem, I think. That's what a good woman does. And in the time of life you're in and the world we have now, we have this sandwich generation where we're taking care of little babies and older people. It's also a joyful time. You feel pulled on both ends by a lot of demands. But if you write it down on paper, it doesn't make sense. Again, it's the atonement that makes it happen. I would say, again, this prioritizing, as we talked about, you keep focusing on the essentials and the necessaries, and the nice-to-do things will happen. The Lord taught this principle in the Doctrine and Covenants, where He gave counsel against neglecting the weightier matters. Sometimes we neglect the weightier matters. When we are doing the things that are most important, we'll feel okay.
Sister Beck, I know one of your daughters recently had a baby, and I heard you tell this story about when the kids were over with you because you were watching them while she was at home, and you thought it was going to go some way, and it actually went a different way. You were talking about these pressures in life of being a grandma and trying to focus on the kids and everything. Would you tell that story about what happened?
Oh, it's a funny story, but it's typical, I think, of a lot of people. We wanted to have a nice Sunday dinner with these children. There were seven of them. So I did. I made a beautiful dinner. We set the table with the fine china and the dishes and did something that they don't always get to do. Their dad's a bishop and their mother's trying to pull things together every week without that help. So my husband and I thought we'd do this. We'd teach table manners. We'd talk about what happened in church. We'd have this wonderful, reverent, glorious moment that we hear other grandparents get to have with their grandchildren. We were into the meal about 3 minutes, and we discovered that we had way underestimated what those children ate. They devoured the food. They were starving, and there we were with hardly anything to eat. So we had to break out the cold cereal along with the fine china and round out the edges of their tummies. We just laughed about it. But for me, it was the experience of being with the children. They won't remember all the things about it. They might not even remember they ate that meal with us. But it was special for me to have them in my home and see their faces and learn a little bit about what my daughter goes through every day. It was an education for me in empathy. I'd forgotten what it took to take care of all those children. So sometimes we feel guilt and beat ourselves up because we create some expectation or marvelous dream in our mind of what it should be, when in reality, that's a fantasy. I hear about a lot of grandparents that do marvelous grandparent trips and field trips with their grandchildren, and I'm just happy to have one come over and sit on my lap for a while and tell me they love me. Mm-hmm. I'm happy if I can have a grandchild play a piano piece they're practicing and learning. I'm happy if I can see them outside playing soccer in my backyard and having a good time. I'm happy if I have enough popsicles to go around. So the expectations I think we create make it harder for us than we need to have it be. It's the being together and having the Spirit with us again, as we've said before, and calling on the power of the atonement to make the experience what the Lord needs it to be, that is what matters.
Thank you. Another sister wrote into our website, and she said, while serving a mission, I was able to really focus on my morning scripture study and preparing to have the Spirit for the day, as you talked about, that missionaries do. But she said, now that I'm home, what's your advice on balancing to have the same study habits when my life is so busy?
That's a good question I get from returned missionaries. And the truth of it is, the only people in the world who get that kind of time are the missionaries. It's the Lord's gift to his missionaries to say, you get 2 hours a day for the duration of your mission to study the gospel. And I would say, I hope you made the most of it, because you'll never get it again. The rest of your life, you will be working to try and get that kind of quality scripture time. What happens with the scripture study that is most important is the consistency of it. Do you do it every day? Something. My rule for myself, which I developed during that trying time when there was more than I could do and more than I felt like doing, was to spend some time every day in the scriptures. That was a rule I thought I could keep. Sometimes we listen to lessons, or people have different goals for us about scripture study. They'll say, let's read the Book of Mormon in 40 days, or you can read it in a week, or you do 10 verses a day or a chapter a day. That never worked for me. Once I got the rule of spend some time in the scriptures every day, I could live that. Mm. Some days it was 30 seconds. Some days it was 30 minutes. But it was the consistent time in the scriptures that made all the difference for me. Another habit that we need to develop that's on the essential list is the prayer. Missionaries pray frequently and often. There are no restrictions to that for the rest of your life. That's something that you can do day by day, hour by hour. Just do it. Don't just talk about it. Do it. Do it with yourself and do it with your family. I know of one young family that always says a prayer before they drive out of the driveway. As soon as they get in the car and the doors are shut, they pray. That's their time to have family prayer. The mother said, we're all captive then. It's easier than trying to call people together in the house. I know one mother that says she keeps a copy of the Book of Mormon in the bathroom. Then she always knows she can pick it up. She can read it while she's doing her hair or makeup. So putting things in strategic places and reminders help us develop the habits that will bless our lives. They're simple things, but it's the consistent practice that make the Spirit come into our lives.
You're listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program. Sister Julie B. Beck, General Relief Society President, joins us today to answer your questions on finding balance and prioritizing. We had a lot of questions come in that were discussing finances and how to balance when there isn't sometimes enough to provide for your family. This is a question from Rachel.
I'm Rachel Pratt from Huntingdon, England, and my question is, how do you feel that sisters can prioritize when finances are so tight that they have no choice but to work and contribute towards the home?
Thank you, Rachel. A lot of women question about going to work and should they go to work or not go to work. Again, I feel like this, sometimes we get the question wrong. The question is, are we aligned with what Heavenly Father wants us to be doing in our lives? Are we doing the essential things, the things that will move us toward eternal life, or are we getting distracted? Sometimes the answer is to want less. But I know from being the worldwide president of Relief Society that we have sisters in this church who don't really want anything, and they have nothing, and they still have to work. If they don't work, they don't eat. They are perfectly aligned, however, with the Lord's purposes, and the essential things are taken care of every day. So if you have to work because finances are tight, evaluate what your family is wanting, and you can use the same list. Are we focused on the essentials, the necessary things, or the nice-to-have things? There is a lot we don't have to have. I'm at the point in my life where I'm trying to get rid of things and have less because I don't want to have to give it all away and keep accumulating. At what point do we stop accumulating things, and how many things do we need? But many of our sisters work to eat. There's one little example that might help with this. I know during those years when I was struggling about balance, I looked at my father-in-law who worked in a steel mill. He worked sometimes day shift, sometimes afternoon shift, sometimes the all-night shift. And he'd rotate around in those shifts. One day I looked at myself and I thought, I'm working all three shifts. And I can't keep it up. He would work one shift and come home and rest and do a little work around the house and play the rest of it. I was working three shifts as a mother, and I realized that was not correct. So if you are a mother who has to work outside the home, you have to then be very careful in your prioritizing, because you physically cannot work three shifts and maintain that indefinitely. It's not sustainable. I think a good woman in good health can work 2.5 shifts, but not forever. It's part of the word of wisdom that we retire to our beds early and we get the sleep that we need. We eat properly. We take care of our bodies, which are the sacred temple of our spirits. So if you work outside the home, evaluate what the most important shift is for you and your family and place everything around what will make that shift work. For a young mother and mothers with children in school, the most important shift is the afternoon shift. A lot of times we spend all of our energy on the day shift and don't have anything left in the afternoon shift. But the afternoon shift is when everybody comes home tired, hungry, discouraged, needy. And if you're the mother, you are on call in the afternoon shift. That's when you have to be at the top of your game. So I would hope that our sisters would look at their lives in that way. If you're older, like this sister from Cardston, Sister Remington, she has a different shift to work. Day shift, she's taking care of elderly parents and other people, so she has to prioritize in a different way. That lesson of the shift work really worked for me. It helped a lot.
One sister asked, how can I effectively support my family while I'm waiting for my husband to take on his role?
All right. Some women feel that they're out of balance with their husband. Maybe they feel they're ahead spiritually, or the husbands aren't calling people to prayer or family scripture study, doing the things that they wish their husband would do. The brethren are counseled to lead out in their families. But I've also been touched by the teachings of President Packer, who speaks of the leadership of Eve. And I love that teaching. It talks about her influential role. Eve was a person of influence, and influence is a leadership responsibility. My parents worked this out beautifully. My father was always very, very busy. So my mother made it possible for him to do his priesthood duty. She called everybody to prayer, and then he called on someone to pray. She called everybody to scripture study, and then he asked someone to teach. If we work in a partnership, it's a lot easier. And if the partnership is unequal, we still exercise influence, sweet influence, not dominion, not manipulation, not coercion, but the charity that never fails is a powerful influence. And our examples over time are powerful.
Thank you. We had a comment from Kim from Salt Lake City who talked about something that you mentioned earlier, if doing less can be defined as more.
My name is Kim. I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. I recently put my whole life on hold to care for my dying grandmother in our home with my husband and my teenage children. As her condition progressed and the demands of her care increased, I was forced to peel away the layers of how I define myself. And I began to realize that I was really happier with less. I was able to focus on my real priorities of being a wife and a mother. And I want to know, is it okay to define ourselves with less? We always are encouraged to further our education, keep ourselves healthy, exercise, be involved in the community. But at certain seasons in our lives, is it okay to define ourselves simply as a wife and a mother, to keep our house in order, to take the time to listen to our husband and our children, to associate with other women simply to buoy each other up rather than focusing on a project or an assignment, simply to take the time to build relationships?
Thank you, Kim. I think when we have the Spirit in our lives and the atonement is working in our lives, we realize that busyness and competition are not the same as our personal best efforts and the consecration the Lord expects from us of giving all we have to build His kingdom. It's okay to define yourself as a wife and a mother because those are eternal roles and responsibilities. A lot of the things we add on to that in life won't go with us. They aren't essential. They distract and make us feel entitled that we could have something else. The devil will always want to distract us and help us feel that we're entitled to something else or we should be more than what Heavenly Father expects us to be. We all do have seasons in our lives. And some of them are more physically and emotionally, spiritually demanding than others. But we have to live those seasons and appreciate them and learn the lessons that come from them. That's part of the focus that Sister Tanner talked about. It's part of the alignment with the Lord. Sometimes we're asking the wrong question again. If we'll ask the right question, Heavenly Father, how can I be aligned with Thy purpose and Thy goals for me? And we are looking for the Lord's vision for us and what we need to accomplish. It isn't complicated. He wants us to keep His commandments. He wants us to remember His Son and live like His Son. He wants us to take care of one another and love one another. Those are the commandments the Lord gave us. The gospel's pretty simple, and it needs to be lived in our own personal lives and families. As we talk about seasons and prioritizing, keeping families together, managing things, I look to the example of my mother, a mother of 10 children, 65 grandchildren, more than 75 great-grandchildren. This is a woman who knows all those people, has a place in her heart and her life for each one. If you were to talk to any of her grandchildren, they would each think they were her favorite, because of the way she thinks about them and the way she treats them. She does some things that help people feel that way and that help her be able to manage that. One is a family directory, an 87-year-old woman making sure she has a computerized, emailable family directory that has everyone's contact information. Every child, every grandchild that's old enough to be contacted is on her list. The missionaries' addresses are on it. That is updated about 3 or 4 times a year. Then she has this little list that everybody has, and she carries it around in her purse. She has a copy tucked in her scriptures. She has it pinned on her fridge. It's everywhere in her house, that has the birth order of her grandchildren. They aren't ordered in terms of which parent they were born to. It's their order of birth in her family. Mm-hmm. So the grandchild number one is first, and grandchild number 30 is 30th. So if she ever asks a child, which number are you? They know which number they are. And she knows which number they are. That is an important little something that helps her keep track of who everybody is personally, not just as a member of a family, but they have a place specific and special in her mind. She knows their talents. She knows their dreams. She knows their hopes. She has special worries about them. I don't know how she keeps track of it all in her mind, but she does. So the little things we do that help pull things together help us prioritize. What we focus on is what we get. If we focus on the frivolous, that is what we will get. If we focus on the things that are of eternal value, that is what we get. And the unimportant seems to melt away. Sometimes we think we have more to do than we can do. I know in my calling, I'll say, I have this email to answer. I have this talk to write. I have to answer this question. I have the minutiae to do. And then I will miss an important occasion to do those things. And later I will say, what was it I was doing that was more important than that? Not long ago, one of our daughters mentioned something that touched my heart. She mentioned a time that I wasn't able to be with her when she had a baby. And in reality, I haven't been able to be with her most of the time when she's had her babies. She said that it was a particularly trying time, and I didn't get to her house till 3 weeks after the baby. She said, what were you doing that was more important? And I said, I don't know. I can't remember. But I do remember this. I was doing the best I could. And the Lord took care of you. And you were blessed beyond what you'd ever been blessed in that situation. And she said, yes, I was. The blessings of heaven poured out. So it wasn't balanced in the way I would have chosen. But it was balanced in the way the Lord chose. And the atonement came into play. I can't remember what was more important than being with her with that baby. But I do remember I was doing the best I could. And I have peace in that. And she knew it and I knew it. So those are the kinds of things I have a testimony of. It's never going to be perfect in our minds, but if it's good enough for the Lord, it should be good enough for us. I have a testimony of the atonement of Jesus Christ and his power to make all things equal in our lives. And that through the manifestations of the Holy Ghost, we can feel the comfort, we can feel the peace, we can feel the approval of the Lord, and know it's all right.
Thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing personal things that make a difference. You've been listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more information on this program, visit our website at mormonchannel.org. To ask a question to Sister Beck, email us at mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. Thanks for listening.